Today is May 1st, 2013, and this is episode number 202 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, Managing Editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, aircraft pilot in trouble. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah. Yeah. And well done, sir.
Well, I don't know about that. And in case you're listening to the show, like, you know, later, today is May Day, you see. So I did a May Day joke pronouncing the call, referencing what pilots are supposed to say when they're in trouble. That's what I did.
And I could have jumped in at any point in your description and stopped you so we could carry on, and yet I didn't. Let you go all the way through.
You're a sadist, man. You're a sadist.
I couldn't wait to see where this was going to go.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's not punish those few listeners we do have and jump straight
into... Hey, we have quality listeners.
We actually do. And traffic's been on the rise. Listenership has been on the rise, and we really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone.
Yes, hugs to everyone.
Hugs to everyone, especially to me and Josh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially from all the ladies. What?
party in the context machine. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
I think I'm starting to understand why I don't get hugs.
You get hugs. Listen, folks, this man walks through a trade show floor, and women just come out of the woodwork and kiss him. Absolute true story. No hyperbole, no joking, no sarcasm. Just a true story. They come up and they just kiss him right on the lips.
That has happened a couple times, sure.
It is the most peculiar thing.
I really like trade shows.
I bet it happens to you like at mugs, too.
Occasionally. Not as often as it does at say, Macworld.
I think all we're doing is managing to paint ourselves as sad, lonely men.
Well,
we don't want anyone to actually know that, do we?
No. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll edit that out.
Yeah, we'll just edit that out. Let's just move on then. Yes. Let's move on and talk. Let's just start with my favorite topic of the week. We often save the best for last.
But you're going to jump right into BlackBerry, aren't you?
I am. Right the heck into the BlackBerry CEO, Thorsten Heinz.
So what is it that has you all wound up and excited about Thorsten Heinz? And it always makes me think of Thurston Howell III when you say that.
I know. It's not his fault. I think he's German. He's German or Austrian, one of the two.
Yeah, it's his parents' fault. They named him.
It's right, exactly. And anyway, he said, and I quote, "In 5 years, I don't think there will be a reason to have a tablet anymore. Maybe a big screen in your workplace, but not a tablet as such. Tablets themselves are not a good business model." And then he added, this might have been from a separate interview. He said, "In 5 years, I see BlackBerry to be the absolute leader in mobile computing." That's what we're aiming for.
That's the same interview.
Well, it was listed in this, quoted in the same Bloomberg interview, but the way they worded it, it may have actually come from something he said a few months ago.
This is my reality. Just roll with it.
Fair enough. And he said, "That's what we're aiming for. I want to gain as much market share as I can, but not by being a copycat," and which is the one thing I'll applaud him for.
Sure.
But this other business that you know, two things. Tablets aren't a good business model, which is just
which for BlackBerry is true.
It's true for BlackBerry. For Apple is proving, of course, that it's otherwise patently false. He also said that there will be no reason to own a tablet in 5 years. That's just crazy. It's weirdly delusional.
you know, with as much looking as we both did to try and find some context that would make this make sense.
Yeah.
And we couldn't.
We couldn't.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Our longtime listeners may have either figured out or remember that I tend to obsess over what I think of as the missing information, meaning that, you know, when you see someone doing something that looks crazy or irrational or saying something that's irrational, there's almost always a missing piece of information that will either explain their actions or get them to also see that it's irrational. And
I had no idea you did that. Yeah, sorry. Continue.
That's sarcasm.
Yes.
The premise of that is that very few people are actually crazy. And what I found out time and again is that when someone has done something that just seems crazy, there's always something that I learned that even if I continue to disagree with what this person said or did, they will no longer look crazy. And I look for that.
Sure.
I look for that missing information. And Jeff and I went and looked for the missing information to something else that he said in this interview that wasn't quoted or, you know, some reason to make him saying that tablets are gone in 5 years to actually make rational sense. And we couldn't find it. He may actually just be crazy.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we've finally come up against a quote where we can't move from irrational to rational.
No, or otherwise he's just lying. I mean, at this point, he's either irrational or he's lying. You know, and we get comments like things like this from Steve Ballmer, the Microsoft CEO. Frequently, he's always saying things like, the iPhone, no one's going to want it, or, you know, what he said in the fall of 2012, that I don't think anyone's made a tablet that people actually want yet.
Sure, he said that, and
he's just lying. We know
he's lying. Yeah, it's posturing.
It's posturing. It's spinning. It's a ham-fisted attempt at marketing, because that's what he is a ham-fisted marketing guy.
Right.
But he doesn't look crazy. He just looks – everyone knows that he's lying, except for possibly him. I don't know. But probably him too.
Yeah. And what he could say to justify comments like he doesn't think there's a tablet that's been made that people want to buy, he could say that the Windows part has been implied.
Right.
Because
right,
at that point, I mean, Windows tablets, there really wasn't anything that was grabbing market share.
Right.
Well, still
right.
isn't.
He could,
but
he can say, yeah, right. But Thorsten's comments do just actually appear crazy. You know, it doesn't seem like marketing spin. It seems like a denial of reality. It seems delusional.
Now, if he's working with a very limited subset of data, meaning playbook sales and nothing else,
yeah,
and then he's trying to project
about
that.
iPad sales.
Right. I mean, I could see where he would say that based on just
the BlackBerry
experience.
Yeah, he goes from irrational to incompetent. Yay.
Yeah, well, there you go. And yes, I know that's quite a reach because I have a feeling he knows the iPad is out there.
Yeah, I think he probably does. And the comment or a statement released by BlackBerry after the interview and after these comments got picked up everywhere didn't serve to make him look less delusional. BlackBerry, by the way, just to remind folks, is the new name for the company that used to be Research Emotion. Right?
Right. Right.
So, quote, "The comments that Thorsten made yesterday are in line with previous comments he has made about the future of mobile computing overall and the possibilities that come with a platform like BlackBerry 10, We continue to evaluate our tablet strategy, but we are not making any shifts in that strategy in the short term. We do have, when we do have information about our playbook strategy, we will share it. She added, you know, I'm wondering if maybe he was hoping that we would extrapolate from his comments that BlackBerry was going to disrupt the mobile space with something that would obviate tablets.
If
that
so,
that would make him uncrazy. It would make him a poor communicator.
Yes. And his PR people also poor communicators because they did not clarify his statement.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if he's thinking that a BlackBerry device can be powerful enough to be like your go-to computing tool for pretty much everything, and it's doing like a wireless sync with wireless display with, say, a 23-inch display or something, then in that case, you could have your phone for when you're out and about. When you get in the office, you don't even take it out of your pocket, and all of a sudden you have a computer on this big screen. I don't think that's actually the case, but if that's where he was going, well, it's kind of a clever idea, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, he should have. If he was trying to imply anything like that, he should have been much more direct. Now, English is not his first language, but he is obviously he's a very competent individual, and he has already had more success in his first year. I think he's actually been there for less than a year, but it's close to a year, right?
It's about a year.
You know, he replaced the two founders of the company that were the co-CEOs. And you know, the BlackBerry Z10 sold well for BlackBerry, and the Q10, which is them releasing a device with the keyboard because, you know, there is this small subset of people who still like physical keyboards on their phones.
Okay, you know, the keyboard thing?
Yeah.
That has me thinking that he's in the delusional, out of touch camp. Because when he talked about the keyboard, he talked about it as if there is a large percentage of the smartphone using market that can't actually effectively use their device because it doesn't have a physical keyboard.
When in reality, it's a large percentage of BlackBerry users who have held on to their BlackBerries because they do like keyboards. But
and that is not the same
percentage.
Thing.
Yeah, it's a very small percentage of the overall market. So I don't know, man. I want BlackBerry to do well. I want BlackBerry to do well for a couple of reasons. One, they have a whole widget proprietary system. And I want to see more whole widget proprietary systems solutions competing with the iPhone, because I think that they bring a lot of value to market. That's not to say that open licensing doesn't have its own benefits. I just prefer the benefits to come with the proprietary whole widget solution. And they've got one, and I want to see them continue to do well with it. They're also a company that really brought smartphones into the corporate mainstream. You know, it's without BlackBerry, it's arguable that the iPhone would have had a harder time.
Sure.
Know, initially. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I'd like to see BlackBerry do well. I don't root against them. I get tense when their old CEOs say stuff about how, you know, how Flash is important and A, it's not, and B, they can't make it work either. And, you know, that stuff's ridiculous. And this stuff from Thorsten is ridiculous.
You know,
it doesn't. Yeah. I don't have high hopes for their future, but I'd like to see them succeed.
I have no hopes for their future. I would like to see them succeed, but I believe they have become the new Palm. and that they've hit the threshold where they can't recover. And eventually their assets get sold off.
Yeah.
And that's that. Maybe and HP and won. I hate to say it, but yeah, maybe HP. Yeah, HP could palm BlackBerry just like they palmed Palm.
And I think that that is an excellent analysis. I think that that's exactly what's going to happen.
It doesn't make me happy to say that, though. Because, like you, I would like to see BlackBerry be a successful company again.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, too. But, you know, if they're going to be run by a guy who doesn't think tablets are going to be here in 5 years. I mean, don't get me wrong. Tablets will eventually be replaced by something, obviously.
Of course.
And tablets will not reign as long as PCs did. But we're going to have a multi-year period where tablets do become one of the primary consumption devices for the majority of people. And that's going to be here in the next few years, and it's going to be with us for, you know, 5 to 10 years after that, before tablets begin to be replaced by the next big thing. And the chances of BlackBerry being the company that produces that next big thing, slim to none.
Yeah, I think the chances of BlackBerry as a company that's around when that happens, slim to none.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I think that I really like your comparison to Palm, and I fear that it's correct. Now, they have some assets that may make that not be the case. In particular, their corporate services infrastructure continue to be important.
Yes, and I think that will end up belonging to another company.
Probably, but it could allow them to hang on and rebuild. It could be the foundation that supports them through the rebuilding and rebranding process that they're going through now. It could.
I will grant you that.
Speaking of companies that need to fire people.
So, okay, what I love is that the topics that we're going to go over this week, mm-hmm. every one of them riles you up in some way.
Yeah. You know, wind me up and watch me go.
Yeah, this is Poke Brian with a Stick week.
If only we could make that a subheading in the title.
That would just be awesome.
Poke Brian with a Stick week. All right, so our next topic is Microsoft's new Windows Phone ad in support of the Nokia 920, Lumia 920.
Right. And I think it's actually a pretty clever and pretty funny ad.
It is. It's very funny. It made me laugh. I thought it was very, very cute, very funny, very smart in its use of humor. But who is their market?
And yeah, that's the big question, because it's loaded with just what I will call inside jokes, because they're for people that are already in the smartphone game and pay attention to the smartphone game and have been following along with some of the Apple and Samsung and the whole Android thing.
Right.
So you have to be in to get the jokes, which, as you pointed out to me, means that you have already made your decision on which platform you are going with.
Yeah, all of the humor is recognizable entirely by partisans in the echo chamber who have already made up their mind. So let's describe the ad.
Oh, yes.
And we'll have a link to it in the show notes, of course. We'll have a link to my coverage of it.
Right.
And directly to the commercial. as well. So what happens, you've got a wedding, and on one side are iPhone users all holding up their iPhones, and maybe they're iPhones, they're not iPad minis, holding up their
iPhones. Yeah, I think it's all just iPhones.
Yeah, because Microsoft clearly doesn't want to be bringing in the tablets into the equation. So they're all holding up their iPhones to film the wedding. And on the other side of the room are the other party, and they're all Samsung people. And so, or Android people in particular, but they're mostly Samsung. And so they're all holding up their Samsung devices to film the wedding.
And, including their big, fat, oversized phones that look like tablets.
Yeah, the phablets.
I'm not saying it.
Such a good word, man. So descriptive.
Continue.
Poke Jeff with the stick minute. So what happens is that someone snarks off on the Samsung side, looking back. I forget what the first joke is, but one of them is to an older woman. He says, aren't you a little young to have an iPhone? So a little ageism joke. That's funny. We, at one point, a Samsung wedding guest yells iSheep, and an iPhone wedding guest yells copybox, and the Samsung person hits someone and says, autocorrect this, and then there's like nerd fighting. And at another point, actually, I guess this is towards the beginning, there's some kind of comment about the phablets, and to the Samsung people bump theirs together like we see in some of the Samsung commercials.
Oh, right. And then someone yells out one trick pony or something like that.
Activates Siri and says into her iPhone, search one trick pony. It's
all clever.
Very smart.
If you're already in.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and by the way, it's all technically correct too. They don't fudge on anything, you know. And they're all like as I put it, this it's like reading the comments to an article about Android versus iOS. You know, it's these are all things that partisans would actually say, and it's definitely funny. And one thing that I felt very strongly about is that I liked the fact that the humor was not, how did you put it?
It was cartoonish.
You said it was, it wasn't mean-spirited like the Samsung.
Yes, yes. I was thinking of the violence, the faux violence.
The faux violence is definitely, there's fighting, right? There's fighting between these partisans. And it's all very cartoonish, very over the top, not, in my opinion, not at all offensive. And
right.
But the jokes themselves,
They're not mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Unlike
Samsung's ads where they mock people that are waiting in line. And those commercials were very, very mean-spirited. And I wonder who Microsoft thinks that they're targeting. Okay. So then there's fighting, and then there's the hired help, which is so funny. It's like the marginal, symbolically speaking, marginal, unimportant people. And if you work in wedding services, I'm not calling you unimportant. I'm talking about symbology here.
Because it's all about symbology in this ad.
Yeah, all of it. All of it is. And they're both holding their Nokia Lumia 920s, filming the violence, the cartoon violence. And one of them says, I wonder if they knew about the Lumia 920. Wait, so do you think if they knew about the Nokia Lumia, they'd stop fighting all the time? And then the woman hired help says, I don't know. I kind of think they like fighting, which is true.
Right.
And funny. But, you know, that message is that we're bit players. We don't matter. And it's nothing, you know, the Nokia Lumia device is nothing to get passionate about. You know, it's like they're literally standing there, this island of placidity, letting the world be passionate and explode all around them. Is that really the message you want to be delivering?
No, but I just had a thought. What if the message is the Lumia and Windows phones are the phones for the rest of us?
That could be the case.
And that would have a little bit of irony to it, since the Mac was presented as the computer for the rest of us.
But in this case, the rest of us is two people standing in an aisle of passion. Excuse me, in a sea of passion. Like literally, there's like 60 people at this wedding, 60, 70 people at this wedding, and there's just two people using the Nokia device. So the rest of it,
Say the imagery was presented well, if that's what they're going for.
Fair enough. It's just weird. It's like the Surface commercials. I don't understand who Microsoft is marketing towards. I don't understand the message. I think that the message is it's not even mixed. It's just bad. And not only it, it's funny. One of the things that they're showing us is that especially the iOS devices is that people are actually using them. You know, people are like searching with their voice. Both sides are taking cameras, taking photographs and movies, and they're searching for information. They're showing these devices as being useful, whereas the hired helps phones are just sort of sitting there
taking videos.
Yeah, that's true. They are taking videos, but they're certainly not as they're not being. As the other devices. It's just weird. The whole thing is weird. It's funny, but it's just funny in the wrong way.
Yeah. Yes, I do find it to be a very clever and funny commercial, but it feels like there actually isn't a clear message or a clear point to the ad.
No, there's not.
No, but I sure like it a lot more than the Surface ads. But I don't like any of the Surface ads.
Yeah, the Surface ads are all crap, except that Sony one, which we already talked about last week.
Except for that one. Yeah, it's.
I'm gonna reiterate my advice to Microsoft's board. Find the people that made this decision, and fire them. Fire the people that okayed this decision. And just keep going right up to the top until you get to the CEO spot and fire Ballmer and find someone that can run this company.
I'm with you. I think Microsoft is due for new leadership, because doing the same things that they've always done is getting them what it has always gotten them. And their forays outside of that are leading to things like these commercials where we're sitting here baffled trying to figure out what were they thinking when they approved this ad.
Yeah, and the proof's in the pudding here. This isn't just us, like the Surface ads that we bash. This isn't just us being partisans and, going, Microsoft sucks and when in reality their marketing is working well. The reality is that Surface isn't selling. Windows phone devices aren't selling. The Lumia series, which I think looks incredible. I think physically those are just gorgeous devices. And I still applaud Microsoft for not trying to copy iOS with the interface for a Windows phone. But it's not selling. It's not selling. It's not selling. The proof is in the pudding. You can't just keep banging your head against the wall and, doing the same thing and getting the same results and when they're failing results. It's the definition of insanity.
Yeah, and
it's Einstein's definition of insanity.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty good definition. And I have to wonder, with new leadership, would the corporate culture at Microsoft change in such a way that they could start producing better products. And like you said, the interface that they've come up with, I think it's very innovative and clever for a smartphone.
It's not what I want.
No, it's not what I'm looking for either, but I can appreciate what it is.
and at least it's not a copy.
Right. I mean, it's completely different from anything else that's out there. So good on Microsoft for stepping outside of that box.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it would take a long time. It would take a long time and a lot of heads rolling. I mean, the entire corporate culture at Microsoft would have to change before they could start doing some amazing things. But I don't think Microsoft does amazing things now. And I don't think it ever will, to be honest. I think that Microsoft's going to continue to coast on for a while and just become more and more irrelevant as time goes on.
Yeah. It's the legacies that I see Microsoft having over time with legacies that are positive. I think there will be Xbox because they do have a very good gaming console.
Yeah.
Yeah, got nothing.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Well,
let's not beat that dead horse anymore and move on to some cheap iPhones. Because we have a differing opinion here.
We do. 2 weeks in a row, we have a differing opinion. So my opinion, and I even wrote an analysis about this, is that Apple is not going to release a cheap iPhone.
Set it up though. Why are we even talking about this?
Okay, so analysts are talking about how Apple needs to create a cheap iPhone, so low cost and lower production quality iPhone, to be able to compete in the smartphone market. And their fear is that the Samsungs of the world, with their wide range of cheap smartphones, will overtake the iPhone, and the iPhone eventually becomes irrelevant, and Apple loses its market share, and they don't want to see that. They like having lots of money from Apple stock. So they want Apple to make a cheap iPhone, and I don't think that's going to happen. And I do have one caveat with that. If Apple were to make such a phone, it would probably be for a very specific market, not the general world market. It would be something, say, for China. And the rest of the world will continue with the smartphone setup that Apple already offers us, where we have the high price model, the mid-tier model, and the low-cost model. So three generations of iPhone at different prices.
I disagree, and strongly. So first of all, to look at what the analysts are saying, the Samsung already has passed Microsoft. I'm sorry. They've also passed Microsoft, but Samsung has passed Apple and by a wide margin already. And that's mainly because of their cheap phones, which is why Samsung doesn't make anywhere near as much profit in their smartphone sales as Apple does, because all of Apple's sales are coming at higher margin devices.
Right.
Competing at the high end, the profitable end of the market. What the analysts are concerned about is that Apple is not going to be able to get a foothold in emerging markets, in particular the BRIC nations, and in particular the BIC nations, Brazil, India, and China. Russia's in there too, Russia being the R in BRIC. And the problem being that because the iPhone is priced starting at about $650 for the current model, that's just well beyond the vast majority of potential buyers in these BRIC markets. And so what they want Apple to do is to stop seeding these low-end sales for those markets in order to bring people in, capture them into the iOS ecosystem where they're likely to stay as they continue to become upwardly mobile.
Right, and that's the only place I could see Apple releasing such a product. Not for the general world.
I disagree with that too. I think it would be a public relations nightmare to not sell the inexpensive phone around the world. What I think makes more sense is for Apple to replace the 2-year-old offering in the developed world with the same low-end device that is aimed at broader parts of the emerging world.
All right, so just to make sure I have it straight, what you're saying, you have the current iPhone, the previous generation iPhone, and then the we'll call it the third generation back iPhone is gone, and instead it's a new phone that is designed to be a low-cost iPhone.
Yeah, probably free with the subsidy with the full 2-year contract. That would replace. So, like right now, we have the 4, the 4S, and the 5. So, under this, what we would expect this fall would be the 4S, the 5, and the 5S.
Right. And instead, we would have the 5, 5S, and the iPhone C for cheap.
Yeah. iPhone C, I like that. Yeah, no, sorry. I like that in that it works for us. I don't think Apple will call it that.
Right. Well, they stop calling me for product names. I don't get that.
Yeah, that's go figure. It's even conceivable that Apple would cease making the previous generation devices altogether. But if they do release an inexpensive phone, I think that it will in the developed world will replace the 2-year-old model.
All right, so what Apple has going for its iPhone lineup right now is that by the time a new model comes out and they push everything else down the line, their production costs have gone down substantially. So they get to keep their higher margins simply because it doesn't cost as much to make the older models as it used to. So if you introduce a new cheap phone, we're now dealing with two brand new models plus an older model. And I think Apple really likes having its margins. And Apple historically has been a company that hasn't been overly concerned about going for the really low end. I'm really having a hard time picturing Apple doing that now. Custom phone for the BRIC nations? Sure. But if you make it look like the iPhone that's available everywhere else, it's just cheaper. That might be an easier pill for the public to swallow. I can see where public relations could be, or public lashback could be a thing. But I don't know if Apple wants to eat into its margins like that in countries where they actually can sell the products that they have already.
So let's actually look at some of the fundamental things. Let's look at what's changed and where Apple has gone so far. Apple has competed at the high end. You know, initially it was pretty much just the current iPhone. And I think it was with the 3GS that they actually kept the 3G around.
Yes, that's right. Because at that point, they had the product lineup to a point where that would actually work.
But with the original iPhone and the iPhone 3G, those were that's what you got. You got one, or I mean, you know, when those were new,
it was a one phone option. Yes,
right. And Apple wanted to address the low end of the high end market, and so it kept the previous generation. Then when we got to the iPhone 4, they still kept the 3G, And you know, they were certainly doing well with it. Currently, they're still doing really well with the 4 and the 4S. But what's changing is the value and importance of emerging markets. And the emerging markets in China, Brazil, and India in particular are huge, huge markets with growing middle classes. But the standard of living is still a lot lower than it is in certainly in the States, but really in the developed world. And Apple doesn't even have a shot at getting some of these sales that are currently going to Android devices. Now, I'm not saying that Apple has any desire to get at the very lowest end. Certainly not. There's no money. There's no money to be made at the lowest end. I mean, really, realistically speaking, the lowest part of the market that Apple would want to compete in is the middle of the market and maybe even the high end of the middle of the market.
Well, then why not keep the same phone structure they have now?
Because it's not working.
Well, do we have enough time to show that it's not working?
Yeah, well, sure we do. Well, they've been doing this for years now, and they're seeding a lot of sales in emerging markets to these Android devices.
All right, and are they offering all of the 3-year-old iPhones in all of those markets?
I believe. Well, they're offering everything that has been made. So I know that the 4S is available in China.
Yeah, I don't know if the 4 is available.
I can't remember it. Well, but if the 4 was introduced, if the 4 was ever introduced into the Chinese market, which I think it was,
then it would be there.
It's still there now. But you know, there's a certain there's an argument that's been made that folks in these emerging markets don't want Apple's 2-year-old technology. They want newer technology, even if it's not the high end.
I
think that an inexpensive iPhone, as a matter of fact, I could even see Apple shelving the previous generation and actually going with new and entry and not having last year's model.
You know, the we don't want the old technology thing. On one hand, I totally see that because really everyone wants the latest and greatest. That's
absolutely.
That's just how we are. But if people weren't fine with the older technology, I don't think the iPad Mini would sell.
Well, because but the iPad Mini is what's being offered. That is the new.
But it's not. It's old technology. It's an iPad 2.
It's not last year's
in a
model.
Small case.
It's the current model.
Yes, but it's the technology that I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's not the thing. I think the thing is that this is a case where perception is the reality.
Okay, so take the 2-year-old model, put a different case on it. It's a new phone.
There you go. But there's another thing there too. The construction cost. You know, Apple can make, I think, a device with a retail price of $300 and make it profitable, just like the iPad Mini is profitable. It's not as profitable as the larger iPad, of course, but it is profitable. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that Samsung would love to make the kind of profit that Apple sees on the iPad Mini with any of its tablets.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
So if you one would assume that an inexpensive entry-level iPhone would be made of different materials, probably with more plastic, and that Apple would do so in a way where it still felt and looked like a quality product, but was less expensive to manufacture.
So now we're back to Apple making 2 new phones as opposed to 1 new phone and 2 old ones.
Yes.
Where the margins are higher.
Yes. And now let's actually make that even more interesting. Let's make, I will not be as strong on this argument here. a phablet iPhone, a 5-inch iPhone, a 4.5-inch iPhone. Is that what we are right now? 4.5 inches? With the iPhone 5S? 5?
4 inches.
Is it 4? You're right.
Because we went from 3.5 to 4.
It's totally 4. You're right. So a 5-inch device, a 4-inch device, and an inexpensive 3.5-inch device.
I think if Apple goes with a 5-inch phone, we will have a two phone size system, and it will be the 5 and the 4. I think the 3.5-inch will go away.
So a 5 and a 4 and then a cheap 4?
If Apple were to do a cheap phone, it would be a 4-inch. Apple, well, I don't think Apple wants to get...
I think we're going to see this entry-level device now. Summer or fall, probably fall. And I don't think we're going to see the 5-inch device until 2014.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a 5-inch device this year either.
But that would mean we would have a high-end 4-inch device and a low-end 4-inch device.
Yes. If Apple
does, I think that would continue. I think that we'll continue to have the cheap 4-inch device, the high-end 4-inch device, and then a 5-inch device.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were saying we'd have a low-end 3.5-inch.
I did. I was wrong. I agree with you on that.
Okay. Hooray! I was right on something.
I think you may be right on all this stuff. I'm definitely arguing on the other side, but I'm not like 100% sure on this stuff. It's more gut feeling than anything else.
And of course, I don't have any insider information. It makes sense to me that if Apple can get a higher margin off of offering last year's product at a lower price, that's a way to go.
Oh, well,
as opposed to having to reinvent every time.
Here's the missing information. I think that Apple could make an inexpensive device with higher margins than it can sell the two-year-old model for.
That would be a different thing then.
You know, having a plastic case, slower processor, still having a quality screen, having... say, you know, eight gigs of RAM, or certainly, you know, 16 at the most, that there are not having the two microphones, for instance. I think that there's things that Apple can do to make a less expensive new device with better margins than selling 2 year old technology.
I don't see two microphones going away though, because ultimately when you're on the phone and someone says, I can't understand a word you're saying. What kind of phone do you have? I have an iPhone. People aren't going to say, I have the cheap iPhone. It's just an iPhone.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
Yeah, so I don't see that happening. But and it just occurred to me, there's another thing that I see keeping Apple from holding on to a 3.5-inch screen size. I believe Apple is now requiring all iOS apps, iPhone apps, and iPod Touch apps to support the 4-inch Retina display.
Yeah, can
Apple deliver? They're pushing people away from the smaller screen.
Can Apple deliver a $300 phone with the current Retina display? I don't know about that.
Well, they can deliver that size screen. Maybe they could do it at a lower resolution.
Yeah, but that wouldn't that. So what the point you just mentioned, which I think is a great point, wouldn't affect that. That would still be a different set of rules. Right, it's the resolution that matters, not the size of the display.
Right. So they have to do the math and figure out how to get the screen size and a lower resolution to work together. So developers code for one screen size.
Yeah. You know what I really see is I see a 5-inch iPhone, eventually at least, I see a 5-inch iPhone with the same resolution as the iPad Mini. And then the full-size iPad, and then the smaller screen size for a 4-inch device. So I'm not really sure where my cheap phone would fit in that.
Yeah, that's a hard mix to put a cheap phone in.
Mm-hmm.
And I am with you now on the 5-inch iPhone, which, as I recall, you were shocked when you realized I hadn't been on board.
I knew you weren't entirely on board with that one.
But I am now. I think the bigger phone's coming. I hope Apple sticks with a smaller screen size option as well, meaning the 4-inch. Because once you hit 5 inches, I can't use the device one-handed anymore.
That's what she said.
And I think there's... good times. But I digress. So I think that there's a big market for the smaller screen size, and people want the bigger size too. So I can see Apple doing two sizes of iPhones.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I think that... Let me recap. I believe that conditions in the market have changed where it now makes sense for Apple to have more of an entry-level device than it has made since up until probably the last 6 to 12 months.
And I will recap by saying I don't know if the economics work for Apple to make two new phone models, one being a lower price model, as opposed to continuing with their current system or a variation of that, where you have the new model and the previous model at a lower price.
Yeah, and again, I think the missing information there is that Apple can make a higher margin entry-level device specifically for that purpose than it can sell two-year-old technology.
Which of course, is possible, but Apple's not going to let us sit down with their engineers and their books and figure it out.
No, for some reason they're not doing that. It's crazy.
I know. Really.
Crazy. All right, well, there you have it. Poke a stick at Brian week. Poke Brian with the stick week. And then poke Jeff with the stick minute. Fablet. iFablet.
It's like you hate me. When did this happen?
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I think so. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening, and feel free to follow me on Twitter and app.net. My name on both is Jay Gamut.
And you can follow me on Twitter at TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y. On app.net, I am simply Brian Chaffin, also Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. That's all for this week.
And even if you like Brian's new favorite word, please stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.